What's shaking, Red Nation? Welcome to another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake. I'm of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Jeremy Brenner here, and tonight we're talking loss number 8 in a row for the Rockets. Couldn't get it done tonight. Final score for the Rockets and Sixers tonight, 133-113. Rockets fall by 20 tonight, despite having a one-point lead at halftime. A good first half, not so good second half. And I can't talk about this alone, so let me bring up my co-pilot, Michael Brown, to talk about tonight's game. Mike, you know, we had a good first half, but I wish we could say the same about the second half.
I mean, Joel Embiid is a freak, dude. What do you say? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Daniel Tice, first of all, Daniel Tice is awful. I mean, he's just terrible. Like, he's just not good. I'm sure we're going to talk about what he did on the offensive end, but defensively, which is what I thought his bread and butter was, I think rotationally he's hurt by the guys around him. Like, I feel like he's a very good defensive player if he's surrounded by other above average defenders. That's what he had when he was in Boston. He doesn't have that here, and I think his shortcomings are really coming through. So
I'm going to defend Tice a little bit in this episode. I just think, you know, he played 34 minutes tonight, was the most out of anybody. And I'm not saying he played well, but given the circumstances, he was the only big tonight. He was given a real tall task to defend Joel Embiid, who had 31, 15, and 10, was basically their whole offense. And Joel Embiid is difficult to stop as it is. And, you know, he's 7 foot, and Daniel Tice is 4 inches shorter than that. Daniel Tice was just the scapegoat tonight, because no one could have defended Joel Embiid better tonight, in my opinion. I think Jayshon Tate, had he defended him more, and the thing is, Jayshon Tate and David Nwaba got looks on Embiid throughout the night, but that would have led to possibly, you know, just fouling, and then what that would have led to was a mismatch elsewhere with Tobias Harris, who also is bigger than pretty much every Rocket that played tonight. So, like, the Rockets were playing short. They were playing without Christian Wood. They were playing without Kevin Porter. And I think the fact that they had as good of a first half as they did was pretty impressive. It's just, unfortunately, they ran out of gas. Philly kind of caught fire in that third quarter. They woke up and got into the game, and they kind of ran away with it. So, you know, I think tonight there is a lot of good takeaways from that, and that's kind of what I want to focus on with this episode before we talk about Silas's press conference earlier today about Kevin Porter and Christian Wood and all that went down with that. But, I mean, that first half, some big highlights from that first half. KJ Martin looked pretty bouncy like he usually does. I was very impressed by him tonight. And he was getting more minutes than usual because no Christian Wood, no Şengün, no Garuba, who tested positive for COVID. So he's in health and safety protocols. So KJ Martin tonight, Mike, 5 of 9 from the field, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 26 minutes for him. What do you think of KJ tonight?
Probably did great. I mean, I think the more – I'm an advocate for more minutes for KJ Martin no matter what. I mean, period, end of story. I don't care where they play him. I don't care, you know, in the words of the GOAT, Jeremy Brenner, positionless basketball. You know, get him on the court. You know, it's still tonight. I mean, 26 minutes, that's not enough to me. You know, on any given night, I want him, I mean, 28 to 30, like somewhere in that number. Feels,
I mean,
right
if we're going to get, if we're going to get that upset over 2 minutes.
No. I'm just saying, like, tonight was a positive step in that direction. But I want more. I want more of KJ Martin. I just feel like he has such an impact on the game, you know, in a positive way.
You know, well, the quickest path to him getting these minutes is at the five, because I mean, but his size doesn't match that of the five. If you're playing him at the five, it means you're playing a real small lineup. He's only 6'5". He plays a lot bigger than that, but that's what he is. And the thing with KJ is I think he's the kind – I don't think he needs more minutes. I think, yes, he impacts the game and all that, but what when he impacted the game was kind of in spurts. He's the kind of guy that you get in order to kind of like quickly get a lead. I don't think KJ Martin is a starting caliber forward in the NBA. I just don't see it. I think I've always thought that he's like one of the guys you bring first or second up off the bench. You bring him in at the end of that first quarter and you just get as much energy out of him as possible. Then in that second half, when you've got rough legs, you bring in a guy like KJ Martin to, you know, kind of revive your offense a little bit and your defense as well. So I think he did that tonight, and especially in that first half. So I think KJ tonight is like what you would see from him on a normal night. I don't think like any of the rotational changes were – I mean, yes, the rotational changes did affect KJ's minutes. Like I don't think he would play 26 minutes had Şengün been active tonight, had Garuba been active tonight, no. Had Christian Wood been active tonight. But I think – if we're looking at like KJ Martin and what he could be to the Rockets in the future, I think this was pretty close to it as to like what his ceiling could be for the Rockets.
Yeah.
That guy can make a decent amount of money in the NBA. Could be like a, you know, like a $12.5 million per year kind of guy. That's a pretty good career.
It's a great career. I'm with you. I want more KJ Martin in my life. If I'm a Rockets
fan. And I think we're going to get it.
I think the biggest thing with KJ Martin this year, I've said it before and I'll continue to say it, put him in the dunk contest.
Jalen Green's got a case for the dunk contest too, and I don't know if they're going to put two Rockets in the dunk contest. Maybe they should just put four Rockets in the dunk contest. Say, Wesley, you can have the night off.
Yeah.
Let's give the Rockets a win for one night. Let's at least, you know, ensure that they will get a win.
I just think, yeah, I mean, I honestly think, though, I mean, and this is me being 100% serious, I think there's interesting dynamics with his dad being Kenyon Martin. You know, you can incorporate him. And I just think the kid can fly. I think he's, if you ever hear him talk, like he's an engaging type of guy. He's just a good dude. And I'm sure I want to talk about this at some point in the show. I actually really enjoyed watching the game tonight for a lot of reasons, but number one, they played tonight like a team, and they stayed with Philadelphia a lot longer than I thought they did, than they would. And they have a bunch of dudes that shut their mouth, play the game the right way, play it as hard as they can, and see where the chips fall. And I loved it, you know, and I don't know if we need to add anything else to that. I'm not saying that.
I think it was important that they were able to get this done tonight. I think having everything that happened in Saturday's loss happen, mm-hmm. I think they needed to come out and have a spirited effort. And I think they did that tonight. They got the message and they played it. And I think that's why they were winning by halftime. And I can guarantee you, I'm pretty sure I wasn't in the locker room, Mike, and I don't think you were either, but I think we can agree that the vibes in the locker room were a little bit more positive than they were on Saturday night.
Well, yeah. And
nobody left the arena as far as we know.
Yeah. What's going on with the dream take at this point is that as soon as we go off the air, we'll find out somebody did leave the arena.
Oh, okay. Who left the arena tonight?
I wish it was Daniel Theis the way he was shooting.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Theis was there in the second half. So unfortunately that is not the case.
I digress. Maybe Gerald Green. But I mean, the vibes were right tonight, you know, with the team. And I give credit to the players who showed up tonight. Daniel Theis knew in his time in Boston going up against a guy like Embiid. I mean, Embiid is a load, you know, and that dude has come leaps and bounds since he got into the league, offensively. Yeah,
so the thing with Daniel Theis, Mike, is, like, are you talking about him on offense or defense?
No, he's terrible.
Here's my thing about
He's terrible. He was terrible tonight offensively. Defensively, he did what he could, and I give him credit for that. But this team just was not good defensively with the guys they had available tonight.
Offensively, I should say, when you have a guy like Daniel Tice, like the Sixers left him open. That's why he took 7 threes tonight, because he was open.
Because he's got an open
shot.
Because he sucks.
It's really hard to pass that up. Because in the NBA, like it's really difficult to get a good shot. And when you have an open shot, you take it. And I at least, you know, because the thing is, we commend players. Excuse me, I'm like in the weeds after that sentence. But let me try to retrain my thoughts and get into the sentence. When you are a shooter, when you are a player, everyone is given the green light to shoot on the Rockets. We've established that. And it's like Gerald Green. Gerald Green, whenever he would miss, he would still keep going. Eric Gordon also is a guy that does that. And we commend those players. Why are we not, you know, commending Tice for that?
Because he can't shoot the three ball. He's shooting sub 27%. From three. And also the timing of his threes tonight was terrible. Like there was, I think three of his seven threes were at points where the Rockets were down by less than 12 points. 12 points or less, I should say. It's just, it's not good. Plus you're also comparing your center to your shooting guards. Like you can't do that. It's okay to say, yeah, it's okay.
This is very fair.
You know, but look, I'm not faulting.
And I'll probably get shot on for that.
Well, and I will defend you to the ends of the earth, but I'm just saying that a guy like Daniel Tice, you can't get – I have to apologize you can't get mad at him. Like you can't get mad at a guy that was benched and now
– Let's try to twist this, Mike.
He took some stupid shots, but that's okay. I don't fault him for anything.
Let's try to twist this. I lost you there for a little bit, but – Let's try to twist this.
Okay.
He missed six threes tonight. What if he makes three of them and goes four? Like, what if he makes half of his misses? Because there were a lot of them that were, like, wide open shots. Like, they weren't bad shots that he was taking. If he was taking them smothered by Joel Embiid, then that's another story. But let's – what if he makes them?
And what if Halle Berry shows up at my door in nothing but a trench coat
but
with
Mike,
a steak dinner?
Like that's way too different. That's way too different.
It's not because the shots didn't.
You're
fall.
Not.
She might.
Okay, but what if they did? Like, okay, but you could also say the same thing for Jalen Green.
Yeah, Jalen Green wasn't good offensively.
Made half tonight. Of his misses tonight.
I get where you're coming from.
What if DJ Augustine makes half of his misses tonight? You know, and then you say, okay, well, now that's if we're adding up Jalen Green's misses, that's four field goals. We'll just say that's 10 points. Then you take Daniel Tice, half of his misses. Well, then that's 19 points, and then it's a 1-point game. You just got to make the shots. Like at the end of the day, if you're a shooter, you got to be a scorer, and you got to make the shots. And that's really all that there is to it.
The flip side of that, though, real quick. Is mm-hmm. he shot eight threes. I want those eight threes going to
seven threes. But yes.
Seven threes. Sorry. He was one of seven. I want those seven shots going to either a Garrison Matthews and Eric Gordon. Like move the ball. Your job on the floor on the offense.
Yeah, but those guys weren't as wide open as Daniel Tice was on these shots. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's fair. Yeah, I totally get that.
And look, Garrison Matthews and Eric Gordon, they made their shots tonight. Yeah. At least from the 3-point line.
If I'm
Garrison
Daniel
Matthews
Tice
tonight. Season high 23.
Special. He was great tonight. It's
the Rockets
so good to
do look
him,
very
man.
Different when he's on his game.
It's the energy, man. Yeah. And I guess that's what I'm saying is if I'm Daniel Tice, when I get minutes, set screens, move the ball, get into the paint for easy buckets. No more threes, man. No more threes. Him and Jae'Sean Tate. Like Jae'Sean Tate was 0-4 from three tonight. And his
Jae'Sean Tate was open. That's the thing is Jae'Sean Tate was open.
That's a good scouting job by the Sixers because Jae'Sean Tate's not a good 3-point shooter either. And that's the thing. That's growth that is needed by this team. And it's going to come. It's going to come.
But thing with Jae'Sean Tate is that's perhaps the only weakness of his game.
Yeah.
And he's so valuable on in every other aspect that you have to play him. And Daniel Tice was only out there because the top two options at the center position were not available tonight. So that's why Daniel Tice. So that's the thing. This should not be an indictment on Steven Silas, because who else are you going to go play? If anyone can try to put on your Steven Silas hat tonight and tell me with the current complexion of this roster, the players that were available tonight, how you create a rotation with your available players that can win this game, please, please tell me, because I really don't think that it can be done. No. I really don't. No. So that's the thing is tonight's loss is just, you know what? Maybe you can blame Christian Wood and Kevin Porter for doing what they did the other night. Or you can just say, hey, the Rockets got beat by a better team. You can do one of those two things. And personally, I'm just going to say they got beat by a better team, because I do think that, you know, the Rockets needed to suspend Christian Wood and Kevin Porter. I think it was the right decision. And I guess we're going to kind of segue into that. So obviously, Christian Wood, Kevin Porter were not available in tonight's game. They were suspended by the team for conduct detrimental to the team. Both players accepted the suspensions and are ready to move on. Steven Silas addressed the media about this pregame. Mike, did you catch any of what Silas said pregame, or should I release it back to the listeners?
I did, but I think you should give a Cliff Notes version of what he said.
So basically, the part that I think is more important, I guess the part we'll dive into first, is with Kevin Porter, because I think that that is what's most important out of these two very different issues. I think it's easy to lump them in the same issue because it was at the same time, but also I think it's important because it is two very different scenarios. So this is what Steven Silas said about Kevin Porter. He's emotional. He's a competitor. He's a good kid. He owns up to his mistakes after he makes them, and he calls this a bump in the road. He crossed the line. He'll be back, and we'll still love him. We'll grow with him, and everything will be okay. And honestly, Mike, I think this is the right way to go about it, because I think, yes, it needed to be addressed. It was addressed. It was given time to heal. And, you know, they didn't just let this go off and take this as nothing. But at the same time, they are looking to move forward. And I think you and I, when we were talking during our emergency pod Sunday morning, that was kind of the message that I was trying to echo is this needs to be addressed, but it's not, you know, the end of the world.
No, it's not the end of the world. And look, let's put the cards on the table. This kid can play. If he was a mid-level type of guy, not the potential future starting point guard for this team, he would have been cut already. Everyone knows that. If everyone's being honest about Kevin Porter Jr., yeah, he had some bumps in the road in Cleveland and now in Houston. He was never going to get cut. He was never going to get released. The Rockets think way too much of this kid, and this kid is too good at basketball for the Rockets to give up on him. They addressed it. They suspended him. I anticipate he comes back the next game, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. You know, and then with Christian Wood, you know, I think more of what happened on Saturday night was kind of pointed towards Kevin Porter, just because his act was probably a little bit more dramatic, and he does have more stock right now with the Rockets' future. So I think that that's why the attention kind of was pointed towards his direction. But Christian Wood, at the end of the day, you know, I think we haven't really heard too much from him about it. But I also think that it's it will get, you know, kind of resolved. I think it's hopefully it's been resolved and we can move forward. I do have less confidence that it is versus Kevin Porter, but I do think that Christian Wood, because I think he understands, you know, kind of where he is, so where he is in his career right now and what he can add. So Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think with Christian Wood,
we're moving on just like we are with Kevin Porter.
I mean, I'm disappointed in Wood, though.
I'm disappointed in both of them. You can't be disappointed in one and not the other.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Both of what they did was terrible.
Well, right. I'm more disappointed in Wood because you and I both know in today's day and age, they could have, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. got reported that he was in contact with the organization shortly thereafter saying, you know, I'm sorry. He was apologetic. He felt terrible.
That was what was reported, but we don't know, you know, we don't know else.
Right. But we don't know what Christian Wood said.
Because it wasn't reported on.
Right, but both of these
guys... We don't know what's happening behind closed doors.
Correct, but both of these guys are active on social media. Everyone's got that stupid notes function on their phone. He could have come out, apologized for his actions, and we all move past it. Christian Wood didn't do that. I also think...
Usually, Mike, it's like... It's, you know, players' agents usually tell them in a position like this to not... do anything on social media because it's only going to – it's not going to make things better. Like putting things on social media doesn't necessarily make things better. Just because you say something to the fans doesn't mean anything. Because at the end of the day, the Rockets, like, yes, they do recognize the fans and they do acknowledge that there are fans and there are millions of followers watching this team very closely. But at the end of the day, this is a job just like your sales job and my writing job. Like it's just, we're doing our job and not everyone needs to, you know, be given 24/7 access to it. So just because he says sorry on social media doesn't mean he's saying sorry to the people on the team. And that's what really matters.
I agree.
Look at what Antonio Brown did yesterday, and Antonio Brown only made himself look worse by his social media after effects.
He's at the next.
It didn't look much better. And that's what I'm trying to say is, and honestly, I think the Antonio Brown news kind of like snuffed this out. I think that had that not happened yesterday, I do think there would have been a lot more people that were fixating on this. And, you know, this was only the biggest story for less than 24 hours, and the Rockets should be thankful for that because Antonio Brown kind of said, hold my beer, and did what he did yesterday. So I think the Rockets have him partially to thank for it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that either guy should, you know, put out anything, needs to put out a letter, needs to do whatever, apologizing to anybody. I'm saying that that's what, in my opinion, that's what a leader like Christian Wood should do.
Did that in the Rockets group chat. Maybe he said, hey guys, sorry. Like that's all that matters. That's also that should matter.
But the thing is that all it is now is speculation instead of actually doing it. And then that way there's something.
Speculation for the fans that he owes nothing to that have been so terrible to him ever since he got here pretty much.
But speculation that he owes it to the franchise that is paying him $14 million to put on.
Okay, to the franchise. But we don't know what he's saying to the franchise.
I'm with you. I'm just saying that the franchise paying you $14 million this year, it doesn't hurt to put out all of these guys do it. What's it called?
Yes, it will. Honestly, it will. Social media is very toxic, especially for players and especially for a guy like Christian Wood after what he did.
Well, tell that to Jalen Green then, who's on IG all of the time. Josh Christopher on IG all the time. He was on IG on right after.
Okay, but Jalen Green and Josh Christopher have not done anything wrong, and they're not saying anything.
I'm throwing it out there that right now all it is conjecture as to at least there's something from Kevin Porter Jr.'s camp that shows that he's somewhat remorseful for what happened on Saturday night. There's nothing from Christian Wood, thus moving me even closer to the camp of I'm done with this dude and I want him gone.
And Mike, he do not care.
Fine. You know what? He does not care. Good. I'm glad he doesn't care.
He doesn't care about your opinion, nor does he care about mine.
Good. Who cares?
He doesn't.
I totally get that. But I'm saying he's doing no favors to endear the fan base to his situation and status with the team. That's all I'm saying. I want him gone. I know he doesn't give a rip about what you and I think, what anybody thinks, but that's showing his leadership skills are thus very lacking, and I don't want him here.
No, that's not what it shows.
It's not what it shows.
Like, Mike, you're so close. Like, I think you're so close to understanding where I'm at, but then you, like, at the very end, it swerves right. His leadership skills are not on trial here.
Oh, they absolutely are. Are you kidding me?
Let me rephrase this. His leadership skills are on trial here, but his actions outside of any of that do not reflect that. His leadership skills will be reflected when he plays on the court in the next game.
You're saying that his leadership skills are not on trial here because he refused.
No, they are. They are on trial. Okay. I misspoke, but let me backtrack. His leadership skills are on trial, but what he does on social media and anything that he does, like his inactivity on social media does not contribute to his lack of leadership.
Okay. I'm saying in today's day and age, if someone says nothing,
that doesn't prove to me anything. All that I care about, and all that anyone should care about, is what he does on the court. And if he proves on the court when we play Washington on Wednesday that he is playing team basketball and he's for the Rockets and all that, and he's dropping 20 and 10, hopefully, and we win in Washington, everything's all good. Even if they lose against Washington, but he's playing as hard as he can, that's what matters. And then we can move towards, okay, maybe we can, you know, see him as, you know, some kind of leader. But at the end of the day, once again, whatever he does off the court and all of that, as long as he isn't hurting anybody and as long as it doesn't affect the inside machinations or whatever with the Rockets, we can't use that as, like, as evidence to judge him for his basketball leadership. It's just – no. It's two different things.
Okay. So let me address that, because what you just said, his actions are creating those types of situations.
But, Mike, he's doing nothing. He's doing nothing.
He's literally
existing.
Exactly. And
if his existence is bothering people, that's ridiculous.
His existence with the way he acted on Saturday and his reaction to me is not sufficient.
But his reaction is nothing. We have no reaction.
Exactly. That's my whole point. At least you have a reaction from Kevin Porter Jr. that multiple reports have been verified that he is in contact with the organization, that he was apologetic for the way things went down. Why have we not gotten the same thing about Christian Wood? That's my question.
But the thing is, Mike, is we have. How? Steven Silas said that Christian Wood accepted the suspension.
He accepted the suspension because he doesn't have a choice. He's an employee.
And he's ready to move forward. He's ready to move forward.
Okay. Well, that's
all right. Let's see what other people have to say about this. Let's add another perspective in here.
Sure.
Let's bring in Ryan here. All right, Ryan, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
How are you doing, guys?
What's up, Ryan?
Do you want my opinion on just the whole, like, green?
You're the one coming up here. You drop your take.
Well, it's more of a question that has to do with Wood, because there's a lot of speculation of Wood being traded, and I'm sick of hearing the rumors. But my question is, if a Wood and Şengün pairing can't work, do you have to trade Wood, or can Wood be used differently in the Rockets, franchise?
Well, I mean, where are you going to move him? You can't put him on the bench.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't.
Look at what happened when they put him on the bench.
Yeah, he sucked because he pouted like a little baby and acted like a child and threw a temper tantrum. And eventually, I mean, I think all three of us are in the same camp that we all believe that Şengün is the future big man of this team. Is that correct?
Would, though?
I mean, Jeremy, in 3 years, I say either Christian Wood or Alperen Şengün is the starting five of this team, and you can only have one of those two guys. Who's your guy?
Wood wanted to be here. He even said it himself that he came here because he wanted to be here, you know, when he first got traded here.
Yeah, he did choose the Rockets, but obviously the team that he signed on is very different than the team that is here now. And I'm not saying that Wood doesn't want to be in Houston, but you have to look at the future when it comes to the Rockets. And Şengün does have a higher ceiling than Wood in terms of what he can be. Because I think what we're seeing now is Christian Wood's prime. And with Alperen Şengün, they're two different players, so it's really hard to compare the two, but because they played a similar position, you do need to see that. And there isn't enough of a sample size to determine if these two can coexist on the court together. And I think that the Rockets should do their due diligence in finding that out. But because of what happened on Saturday, you do run the risk of Christian Wood possibly walking in free agency a year from now. And you run the risk of that value deteriorating as this season goes on. Obviously, I've always said this about trade value, is that at any moment it can increase, and at any moment it can decrease, and at any moment it can become zero. So you run that risk with everybody. And you also run that risk with Christian Wood. But I think if the Rockets are going to move on from Christian Wood now, it's because they don't see him as a guy they want to run forward with, not for basketball reasons. And to me, that would be, if they were to trade him now, I think that's what it would be. They're just looking to move on from him. If it's because at the end of the day, the Christian Wood is a very talented player. 17-10 does not grow on trees every day. You have to develop that. And you have that right now. You have a full-grown tree that gives you the oranges. Why are you going to trade an orange tree for seeds that may not grow into being that potential? But given Wood's character given Wood's character flaws that he showcased on Saturday, that's why they would trade Christian Wood if they did it now. Because between now and the deadline, which is nearly a month away, and with Şengün that's going to be out for a chunk of that as well, that's still not enough of a sample size for me. You need to have at least a couple more months. And the problem is the Rockets don't have all that time to work with, because the draft is approaching really quickly. And there are so many big prospects that they can go out and get that will make a front court with Şengün, Wood, and whomever, whether it be Banchero or whether it be Jabari Smith or Chet or any of those guys, it's just going to make it really difficult, and it's going to be a crowded front court, and you're not going to have the speed that you're able to play with, that the Rockets love to play with, and you have all these guards that also need that playing time as well. So I think when it comes to Christian Wood, if they trade him in the next couple months, it will show to me that they want to move on from him as a part of their culture. And they also see they don't see him as the long-term fit.
So you also said that, I want to touch on one thing you just said. You said that they're different players. Did I hear that correctly?
They are different players.
See, I don't agree with that.
Different players because
I don't think so.
Şengün's a guy that can create for you, that can create for others, that usually likes to stand at the top of the key. Christian Wood has been best utilized as someone who can crash the glass and is a roller. And Şengün is not that. Şengün is the guy that you play in the post, or you get him at the top of the key and you get him to, you know, do one of his, you know, prolific passes to whomever in the corner, or help create for other people. With Christian Wood, and the thing is, that's, they haven't utilized these two like this. And that's why I think maybe there's a bit of frustration within Rockets fans, is that they haven't really utilized those two together, because they do have aspects that can complement each other. And the thing is, what we've seen with Christian Wood, his pairing with Daniel Theis does not work, because Daniel Theis is a defensive guy, and he's a guy that just kind of soaks up a lot of space. Whereas Şengün doesn't necessarily have to be that. Şengün is a guy that is a creator, a guy that creates space for others, is a guy that can, you know, he is someone that can create for so many different other people. Tice is not that. And Wood, the reason why he's adopted that role as this creator is because Daniel Tice is not there complimenting him. Daniel Tice is not a compliment to Christian Wood, but Sengun might be. We don't know yet because we haven't gotten that sample size from them yet that we desperately need. So the Rockets have between now and the end of the season to decide whether Wood and Sengun are a possible pairing. And if they feel that the answer is no, they'll either trade Christian Wood at the deadline or they'll draft Christian Wood's replacement in the draft. And I'd imagine that they deal Christian Wood during the offseason. Does that answer your question, Ryan?
Jeremy, you think Sengun and Wood are the same, but then
I said the absolute. I think they're different enough to where they can complement each other, but we haven't seen them enough on the court yet to really prove that point. And the thing is, they might not work, but we don't know yet because we haven't had the sample size to see that.
I agree, because Sengun is a post center while Christian Wood is like your all around space the floor kind of center. Michael, how come you don't agree with this? What's your take on that?
Because neither one of them are defensive anchors. Neither one of those guys like to, neither one of them are great rebounders. That's a massive problem. Number two, neither one of them you can put on an opposing big man and allow them to bang with that type of big man, which is becoming more and more prevalent in today's NBA. Both players prefer to play a majority of their time on the floor on the perimeter, especially Christian Wood. And Sengun, while he likes to play with his back to the basket sometimes, he still likes to spend way too much time on the perimeter. There's no spacing with either one of those guys on the court. It's a massive problem.
That spacing, though, Mike, is being on the perimeter.
Yeah,
it's creating as much space to either have your guards drive so they have an open lane to play with, or enough space to where when they collapse on you, you have enough space to kick out for three.
Space works like that when you have good three-point shooters on the court. Neither one of those guys are. So it allows the defense to zero in on the other three players on the court.
And you don't think Alperen Sengun can improve all of these aspects of this game, which he has already proven that he's taking positive steps into all of these places?
I think he can improve. But, I mean, do you think he's going to improve his three-point shot to offset?
I think he's going to improve everything. He's 19.
No, but I'm saying offset his three-point shooting – improve his three-point shooting to the point where now the defense has to respect his three-point shot.
Yes, I think that will definitely well, the thing is, it might not be within the next couple of months, and that's where your timelines are getting screwed up, and it's where it might not work for now, given the current timelines of everybody on the team. But Sengun can become that. And that's why you're higher on Sengun than you are on Christian Wood, because he has the time to develop that, and he is going to be here for the future, whereas Christian Wood – he's only guaranteed to be here until the end of next season. So that is what is complicated about both of these guys, is there's just so much there's only so much that they can do with the current complexion of the team. And right now, when it comes to those two guys, I want to see more from them when we can. But right now, I think they – at this point, it's these next couple games are going to be very important for Christian Wood, because it's going to prove if he can bounce back from his lowest moment as a Rocket. And if he is, then I say keep him. And then when Sengun comes back, play the two together, see what happens. But if he is unable to bounce back from this, and he's not able to get to where the Rockets need him to be, then you trade him because he's not a culture fit. And then you might not get as much value for him as you possibly could have had all of this not happened. But, you know, the Rockets couldn't have guessed that this would happen. You know, yes, that's maybe why a lot of the league passed up on him, But if Christian Wood doesn't play a game for the Rockets again, which I'm assuming he will, but like if this is the end of Christian Wood's tenure in Houston, I wouldn't say it's a failure because he was an important part of the team. Granted, yes, for not a very bright part of Rockets history, but it was still the right decision at the time when Rafael Stone made the signing, and he played his best basketball here, and he played better than what his contract was suggesting. So bringing Christian Wood to Houston has not been a failure. And if his Houston career is over, which it's obviously not right now, I would say that it is still a success. But Ryan, anything else before we move on to another speaker?
So if it does come down to they do decide to trade Wood, I have some scenarios that I want to have you guys listen to real quick. I don't know if any of these three would work, but Wood Wall for, here's the first one, Turner Brogdon. Is Kemba Robinson for Wooden Wall.
I would do that.
For Fox and Holmes.
Oh, yes. Well,
are you asking should the Rockets do that, or should the other team do that?
I guess if both parties,
because the Rockets should say all three, but the Pacers say no to that because they're looking to rebuild as well. The Knicks say no to that because Mitchell Robinson's not the kind of guy that they're trying to give up. And no to the Kings because while, yes, there is kind of a stuckness in Sacramento with that, you know, De'Aaron Fox is not going nowhere. He signed a max contract with them, and you don't just trade a max contract for Christian Wood.
If not Fox,
why the Rockets traded their max guy for peanuts? Why not the Kings?
They didn't, Mike.
I know. I'm just kidding.
If not Fox,
I'm
then
just
like
kidding.
Halliburton.
But at this point, look, I'm glad you brought up Sacramento, Ryan, because I think that is a possible destination. But I'm going to send you back into the audience for just a second. But thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, I think Sacramento is an option that makes sense in a potential Christian Wood trade. And I don't want to talk too much about this because we'll have a whole month to talk about it. But Sacramento makes sense for Christian Wood because Sacramento is a team that is trying to make their first playoff appearance in 16 years. And they're a good team, but if they're looking to buy, getting a guy like Christian Wood could be there. I think him and De'Aaron Fox would be really strong together. I would really like that. And they have three lead guards, right? You have De'Aaron Fox, you have Tyrese Halliburton, who was their lottery pick last year, and then you have Davion Mitchell, who was their lottery pick this year. And those three guys, I mean, the Rockets should look into getting one of those guys. Now, could it possibly create that same issue that they have in Sacramento in Houston? Possibly, yes. And I'd imagine that out of those three guys, the guy that would be most intriguing to the Rockets obviously would be De'Aaron Fox, but he's not on the table. So if you're asking between Halliburton and Davion Mitchell, they're both very similar. I like Halliburton better because I think he's a little bit more complete, and I do think that he is the one out of those three that needs the ball in their hands the least. But getting a Davion Mitchell for a guy like Christian Wood is something that the Rockets should definitely listen to if that's on the table, because getting that's basically like another lottery pick for you. Like if they got Davion Mitchell, that would be five of the top 24 picks in this past draft in Houston.
So are you talking about if you're doing that deal, you're going to put Wood with Rashawn Holmes in the front court if you're Sacramento?
I think that is...
if I'm the Rockets, I want Rashawn Holmes over another guard. Getting another guard makes no sense.
We already have a starting backcourt. I don't know if Rashawn Holmes would be on the table. That to me is where. But if he is on the table, then yes, you look into that. But I'm pretty sure Rashawn Holmes signed like a pretty big contract.
Four years, eighty million.
So yeah. I guess those are 4 years, 46. So I guess that is a very similar contract to what Christian Wood has, at least money wise. But Rashawn Holmes when you sign a guy to a four-year contract, it's really hard to go and then trade him the very next season. But let me look at Rashawn Holmes' numbers. 12 points a game, 8 boards. I guess Christian Wood would be a slight upgrade, But I don't know. I wouldn't know how like how willing the Kings would be to trade Rashawn Holmes. I'd imagine that they'd be more likely to trade Marvin Bagley, which could make things interesting. But I do – like, Mike, you did mention it. Like, they do need a defensive player coming in return. Yeah. They need a defensive guy that can play these matchups, like with Joel Embiid, and they need a guy that can be that. And I think Rashawn Holmes could be that. But knowing what the Kings – like, my very limited perspective with the Kings right now, that is, I think, where – like, if you say, hey, we're going to offer Christian Wood to you, and in return, I think that their first move would be Halliburton or it would be either Halliburton or Davion Mitchell for me.
Well, yeah, but then I hang the phone up if I'm the Rockets, because what are you doing? You're trading your best trade asset for a guard that you're
I would also get Marvin Bagley. I think they would need it'd be Marvin Bagley and either Davion Mitchell or Tyrese Halliburton.
So what are you going to do with Kevin Porter Jr.?
I think you work out a possibility of playing all three of those guys together, Mitchell, Jalen Green, and Kevin Porter. And then you hope that Kevin Porter's defense continues to improve. You have Davion Mitchell, who is a talented, talented guy, who's just – I think he's just kind of – the reason why he hasn't kind of been there is he just doesn't have that he's just not in the right position. Like, I don't – like, Sacramento got him because he was the best player available at the time, but it's just not a good fit for him there.
It all makes sense, but
he could be doing great numbers elsewhere. Is what I'm trying to say. Halliburton's been their starting two guard pretty much all year, so I think that would be a tougher trade for the Rockets to pull off getting Halliburton. So I would probably say Davion Mitchell is probably what we would get in return. It'd be like something like Davion Mitchell, Marvin Bagley, and probably like a pick.
I'm not doing that if I'm the Rockets, but I don't hate it, but I think you can get a better package for Wood.
I mean, look, if you're getting Christian Wood for like, if you're getting Christian Wood for a top 10 draft pick, like that's the thing too, is when you put it like that, like Davion Mitchell was a top 10 draft pick this year. And that's like,
but he doesn't, you're basically fit.
Getting that,
but he doesn't for fit. Christian doesn't make Wood. Sense. Yeah, but he doesn't make any sense. Because now you would have to take Garrison Matthews out of the starting lineup, which I don't want to do. Like, it screws up in your rotation, and you're getting a guy. I like Davion Mitchell if you move on from Kevin Porter Jr. Because now you're talking
about moving on from Kevin Porter Jr. I'd rather Kevin Porter Jr. than Davion Mitchell. So I get what you're saying, Mike.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, that's the thing is, like, if Sacramento, if that was the one destination, because I do think a team like Sacramento would be interested in Christian Wood. I think that's what the offer would be. And then the Rockets would have to consider if that's an offer that they're willing to take on. They might not want to because of, as you mentioned, the current complexion of the team just doesn't really fit right now for a Davion Mitchell. And that's why, you know, he's struggling in Sacramento right now, or at least not necessarily struggling, but not playing to, like, I think what his max potential could be. Like, if he were starting in a different place, like if you were playing in San Antonio, maybe I think that he could be doing a bit better. If he was playing in like New Orleans or a place like that. Yeah. So there's a whole lot of, you know, other possibilities. And it's look, I have a limited perspective just because I don't follow these teams as much as I do the Rockets. So yeah, but let's bring up Alex here quickly for the last speaker of the evening. Let's see what he has to say here. Alex, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
What's up, Alex?
Alex going once. Alex going twice.
Oh, I'm here. Sorry.
And Alex is here. All right. Welcome to the show, Alex. What's your take?
Hi. I just wanted to say something about the KBJ situation.
All right. Let's hear it.
It's been disheartening to kind of see how, you know, society and a lot of fans in general, they like to champion, you know, players' mental health and well-being. And then as soon as, you know, somebody they have a kind of a bad preconceived notion of slips up, you know, there's just an outpouring, this hate and just, you know, unbearable things across different social medias. And, you know, I try to put it in perspective. You know, KBJ is around my age, and, you know, I have so many different low moments in my life I wish I could just erase. And then I think about, you know, KBJ, I don't want to like air out any of, you know, his past, but it's fair to say that most fans have had, like, you know, a much more privileged life and upbringing than KBJ has. And, you know, it's just sad to see, I think, that so much hate and just kind of, you know, people, you know, saying, oh, it's like Seattle gang activity, or, you know, saying, oh, human decency doesn't matter because he got an argument and threw an object. It's mind boggling to me. And but with that being said, you know, I do think KPJ, you know, he has to go out with his people and the Rockets organization, and he has to find out if he truly does want to be, you know, a professional basketball player. Because if he does, then, you know, his chances aren't infinite. There is a finite amount of chances you get in the league. And if he doesn't want to be a professional basketball player, that's completely fine. Like, he doesn't owe it to us or to anybody but himself to do what he truly wants to do. But that's just my two cents. I wish people would be more mindful and, you know, more, you know, cognizant of just how different individuals can struggle. And it's like all of these people commenting, they're not perfect either. So why send this unnecessary hate, you know?
No, I think you bring up a really good point. I think while feeling sympathy for his upbringing, he still has to acknowledge the platform that he has and the situation that he's in. And the fact is that he was being coached by a guy who is known in John Lucas for tough love. And he may not have felt that at all points in his life, but he's got to understand that you cannot leave the building. And he acknowledged that. He acknowledged that it was a mistake. But as an employer, the Rockets, who are now faced with the decision of, do we want to give this guy a long-term contract? Because do we trust him to take that coaching in stride, to take that tough love from a guy in John Lucas who's not going anywhere? Can the Rockets be the right fit for a Kevin Porter Jr.? Is now in serious question, and it deserves to be. And now it's on him to show that he is willing to show that he's now in a power position of taking that tough love in stride and being able to handle this situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And that's why I pointed out that, you know, he does have to decide if he wants to be a professional basketball player. You know, you can tell he loves to hoop, right? But, you know, I can't be fully convinced that he wants to do all the other things that are associated with, you know, being a player in the NBA and really a professional player anyway. Sure. But that also doesn't excuse, you know, some of the things being said online from not only NBA fans, but from Rockets fans as well. And I think both of those things can be true, you know? And then there's room to be compassionate and also firm at the same time. And I think that's something that Silas and John Lucas, you know, from the comments I've seen so far from Silas about KBJ, I think that's something they're managing well. We can say a lot about their, you know, defensive scheme, but I do feel like they are kind of the right tandem for KBJ. And that has me at least hopeful for the future.
Same.
I'll say this. Because I think, Alex, I think you took a lot of my thoughts and put it into your mouth. And so I'm not saying that you took my thoughts, but, you know, I think we're pretty solid on the same page here. But I think what we've learned here, and I think what we can learn from this as just people, is 99.9% of people on the internet suck. Like, majority of the people that you run into suck. And they will take the headlines of your life and use that to judge you for the rest of your life. So it is important, because if majority of the world is reading you and judging you by your headlines, it goes to show you how you need to watch your actions, watch what you say, because people will take the 1% of information that they know about you and turn it into whatever they want to turn it into. And usually it will be negative, because it's so much easier to focus on the negatives in a person than the positives in a person.
Yeah.
True people that you know are going to get to know you for who you are. And that's why I say the internet, because the people on the internet, 99.9% of them, they don't know you in your real life. And they don't know every single little thing that you go through. So I'm sure what, you know, all of the things that have led to that moment for Kevin Porter, you know, 99.9% of the people that know him, like, just know of him. They don't really know him. And it's, but also at the same time, a lot of people think Kevin Porter's just a whack dude because of what he did. And it's the stories that were told about him, the headlines that were told about him. But that doesn't necessarily mean that is who he is. And so, but that's an important lesson that I think we should all take, you know, for us at, moving forward, not just with basketball, but life, is that, you know, people are going to assume things about you just because of what other people have said. But, you know, if you really want to be a friend to somebody, if you want to really get to know somebody, don't judge them based off of the headlines that are going on in their life or their titles or from what, you know, what groups they're a part of or what people they hang out with, like truly get to know somebody and judge them based on their character and their full being as opposed to just their headlines. So thank you, Alex, for that. Anything else to add before we sign off here?
No, I don't got anything.
All right, appreciate you, Alex. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, we've got Washington on the docket on Wednesday. What are you looking for?
Energy, man. I mean, the
– energy.
You know, I'm looking for bounce back games if Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. play on Wednesday, which I anticipate both of them playing on Wednesday. You know, a little revenge game. You know, for them, revenge on the situation of Saturday, come out, ball out, get a good, you know, road victory and, you know, energy and passion, you know, come out, show that you want to be there, you know, play a, you know, don't turn the ball over, keep the turnovers down, make your free throws and energy. Those are my three pillars for Wednesday.
Turnovers were down tonight.
Yeah. I mean, they took care of the ball, you know, and we didn't talk enough about Garrison Matthews tonight.
Yeah, we didn't. He was great.
Having him on the court is such – he's the energizer bunny, man. He brings it on both ends. You know, I feel like he facilitates the offense, you know, getting rid of the ball if he's not open, moving without the ball. He just does so many things so well.
I'm going to go with a hot take. Garrison Matthews gets a career high on Wednesday. Score team.
Ooh.
Team revenge game.
I like it.
The Gary Bird revenge game. And maybe the Rockets get a win. Yeah, you know what? I'll say that. Let book it. Garrison Matthews dropping 25. Rockets steal a win in Washington, D.C.
All right, I'm calling Vegas, and I'm betting the house on both of them.
And then you'll come and celebrate here at Spotify Green Room afterwards because Michael Brown will be hosting the new episode after Wednesday's game. I'll be off Wednesday, but we'll be back Friday. Yeah, Friday, right? Yeah, Friday, Dallas is coming to town. And then Sunday, Minnesota is coming to town. And recently announced as part of today's – you know, the NBA announced a number of games that were switched up. The Rockets rematch with the Sixers was originally scheduled for 3 weeks from tonight, is actually scheduled for the 10th, which is 1 week from tonight, also on national championship night. But the Rockets will be playing on January 10th at home, part a second night of a back-to-back against these Sixers that they'll be looking to hopefully get their revenge on Monday at Toyota Center. So be sure to tune into the Dream Take after every one of those games and throughout the games for the rest of the season. And you can also follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast _MB.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JEREMYBRENER. Follow us. Follow the Dream Take on Twitter at the Dream Take and at Dreamshake SBN. Head to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Be sure to also subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast listens. Thank you to our audience here live on Spotify Green Room, as always. And until next time, go Rockets!